we have something that no other generation before Christ came had, other than just a very select few, and that's the Holy Spirit. So as children of God today, we all have the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is in us. He is our teacher. He is our prompter. We don't need a teleprompter. We have one that lives in us. And any time we start to do something, if you really are a born-again Christian, whether you know those statutes or not, or if you start to do something that's not right, automatically something will happen in you. He'll say, Bill, don't do that. You may not quite understand that, but if you hear that little voice or that little thought comes to your mind, don't do that. Well, then just listen to him, and you're being, as a child of God, you're being led by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God will keep you out of trouble because he knows all the rules. Now, then the only problem with that is, how many of us listen to the Spirit? Not very many. You know, we don't listen well. Y'all know where I'm coming from here? We don't listen well. I mean, how many times in my life? Let me just give you an example. I mean, here I am. I mean, I've been studying God's Word for years. And one day I am down, I'm building a little test kitchen for American Airlines when I was working for the corporation I was working for. And we didn't quite get through with it on Friday. The guys that was working all went home. But they wanted to test it Monday morning. And I only needed just a couple of hours worth of stuff to finish up. I had a little dishwasher I need to put in. So I just thought, well, I'll go back down there Saturday and finish it myself. So I go down there Saturday. And I need it. When I push the dishwasher back in, it goes back in there too far. And I thought, okay, I need a little spacer. So I picked up a little 1x8 I had there about that long. I just needed a little spacer about that wide. Picked up a skill saw, and I grabbed that board, and I started to cut across there. And as I did, just as clear as a bell, I heard the Lord say, your hand's too close. I just kept on sawing. And then he said it a second time, son, your hand is too close. So I stopped. I reached out and instead of holding it right there, I pulled and got my hands on the end. And since it was such a short board, technically speaking, I should have got a C-clamp, clamped it to a table or something and cut off the piece. But you know how we are. You know how men are. No, you may not know how men are. Men know how we are. You girls are the ones that don't understand how we are. So I grabbed it out on the end, and I start sawing again, and the third time, he said, your hand is still too close. Now, is this the height of stupidity? I mean, is this the height of stupidity? Now, I know none of y'all have ever been there and done this besides me. I know that y'all, every time the Lord speaks to you, you automatically hear right quick and stop doing it, and you don't do nothing the Lord tells you not to do. I know I'm the only one that's ever committed iniquity. Oh, I'm not the only one, Ernie. Okay, that makes me feel better, Ernie. But I kept sawing. I mean, after he told me the third time, it's too close. And I get just about an inch from the other side of that board, and that saw pinched, and it jerked that board out from under, out of my hand. My hand went under the saw, and blood splashed all over the wall. And I jerked that saw out of the wall, throwed it down on the floor, and looked up, and of course my hand is just bloody all over. And I looked at that hand, and I said, God, I can't believe I just done this. I mean, how many times did he tell me not to do it? You would think any dummy would get it in three times. You know, I mean, but that just goes to show how dumb some of us guys are. I hope the rest of y'all are not as bad as me. But anyway, I run over to the faucet, open the water faucet, and started running the cold water across. And when I did, I looked, and this finger here, I had only hit it three times with the blade had only hit and knocked three little nicks out of that finger. It was just barely bleeding. And this one right here, it hit it six times, but the one in the middle, it hit it right at the joint, went right down to the bone. It was only a quarter inch of the skin holding the finger on my hand. I reached down and folded it all back up, folded it up in my hand to hold it together, wrapped a rag around it, and went and got my truck and drove over to the doctor's office. I walked in, blood all over this rag. The lady said, what happened to you? I said, well, I cut my hand with a saw. She says, can I see it? I said, well, I guess so. So I opened the thing up and folded it out. And when I did, you know, blood just gushed. And she said, that's good. Close it back up. So I said, okay. I closed it back up. And so she took me back in the back. And when I went back there, I'm sitting there holding my hand. We're trying to keep it from bleeding. And, of course, I'm praying over it and everything. And there was another guy in there I got to witness to. You know, Jesus, even out of your stupidity, he'll put you in the right place at the right time. So I get to share Jesus with a guy in there. And then the doctor, which happened to be a lady, she came in and she wanted to see it. So I folded it out and she said, wow, you did a really good job. And so she put the finger back on there and started sewing it. She took 13 stitches to sew the finger back on. And she got it sewed back on. Of course, it stopped bleeding pretty good then. And she says, well, I'm going to have to send you down to a specialist, and they'll have to do some skin grafts. I said, ma'am, I'm a man of faith. And I said, that's okay. You sewed it back on. I'll just believe Jesus. I don't need any skin grafts. She said, no, that finger's going to be awful. She said, I want you to go down here and have this doctor look at you, and they'll do a skin graft. She said, after all, where did it happen? I told her, well, I was over there working for this company, building this cabinet, and out of my stupidity, I'd done this. She said, well, it's under workman's comp, so said, they'll pay for it. I said, well, it's my stupidity that done it. You know, they shouldn't have to pay for something I do. But at least that's the way I look at life. Somebody else shouldn't have to pay for my stupidity. But anyway, so she said, well, go to the doctor. So I went to this other doctor. And he looked at it and he said, wow. He said, you really done a good job on that finger. He said, we'll have to put some skin grafts on there or it'll never grow back right. And I said, well, where are you going to get the skin? You know, he said, from under your arm. I said, then I got two places to heal up, Doc. I don't like this. I think I'm just going to let Jesus take care of it. Besides that, I said, how much is it going to cost? He said, well, what difference does that make to you? I said, it makes a whole lot of difference. I said, my company's going to have to pay for this, and I don't want, you know, to spend their money foolishly. He said, well, I don't know how much it's going to cost. I said, you're the doctor, and you're going to do it, and you don't know how much it's going to cost? I said, we'll figure it out. And he said, well, that's okay. We'll just send you a bill. I said, no, that's not the way I do things. I said, I was a mechanic lots of years. When people come in with their car, they always wanted to know, what's it going to cost to fix it? So I sat down and figured it out first, and when I got through with it, that's what they wanted to pay. If I told them it was going to cost $200 to fix their car, when they come got it, they didn't want to pay a bill for $1,000. You know, they wanted $200. That's what they expected. So I said, I don't see any difference here. If I am going to have this fixed, I want to know what it's going to take. He said, well, okay. He said, I'll call the hospital. I said, the hospital? He said, yeah, they have their part, and then I have my part. I said, so I'm going to get two bills? He said, yes. I said, okay, so I want to know today, he said. I said, I'm not going to commit to have this thing fixed till I know what it's going to cost. Well, he called me back that afternoon, and he said, well, you know, they want $1,500 for the hospital room while I do the thing, and then I want $3,500 for my part. I said, to fix a little skin graft? I said, no, absolutely not. I said, I'm just going to trust Jesus. I said, I ain't going to have it done. I said, I'm a man of faith. I guarantee you, I said, the king I serve will put that back together, and there won't even be a scar on that finger when he gets through with it.
Right.
He said, I don't know who you think you know, but he said, I don't know any doctors that can do that. Well, I do. You and me do, right, girl? We know a doctor that can fix anything, don't we, Esther?
Right.
I mean, we know a doctor that can do anything. But, I mean, I got great faith for this, and he's laughed at me. And I said, I mean, I ain't going to let you do it. I ain't going to spend $5,000, you know, to fix this finger. I'm going to let Jesus fix it. I said, the beautiful part about Jesus, I won't have two places to heal up, but I only have one. He'll fix it with no scars, and he ain't going to charge me nothing. He is as free. He paid for mine on the cross.
Amen.
And so he thought I was nuts, of course. You know, that's normal. You know, I get used to that over the years, so I could care less. So anyway, he said, well, will you come back at least in a week and let me check it? And I told him, I said, okay, you want to see what Jesus done? I'll come back and let you see it. I said, when I come back, it ain't going to be nothing wrong with it. It's going to be totally healed up.
Amen.
He said, but I told you to come back in 1 week. I said, the king I serve can fix it totally in 1 day.
Amen.
I said, but in a week, that's no problem for Jesus. Now, you think your confession is important?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, in a week, I went back over there. The stitches were all gone. After about 2 days, I took all the stitches out myself. I just snipped all 13 of them stitches and just pulled them out. I mean, it was nearly completely healed in 2 days. Why I need a stitch? Amen. You know? And so, a week later, I went back over there, and I walked in, and I said, "Hey, Doc." He said, "Oh, there, you're the guy who had the cut finger." I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Let me show you what kind of work Jesus does." And I walked up to him, and I stuck that out like that, and he said, "You're the wrong guy." I said, "No, sir, I'm not the wrong guy. I'm the one that cut my finger." He said, "I don't believe this." I said, "That's why you don't ever see it." You don't believe him. I believe him. I told you he'd completely healed my finger within a week. And didn't he do good work on that, Ernest? Yeah, that was that center finger. Didn't he do good work? Does the king always do good work? Now then, is your confession important? Yeah. In fact, I want to take you to a couple of places here that if you're walking in obedience to God's word. Now, first of all, what caused me to get cut? Disobedience. That's exactly right. It was sin. You know, I mean, really, it was iniquity. I mean, I heard his voice 3 times. I knew I should have held that board in another place. And he still promises to forgive even our iniquities, does he not? When I asked him, I said, "Lord, I can't believe I did this," and I asked you to forgive me. Now then, I believe most people are so untuned to God that when he's speaking to you, they don't hear him. I think most people, now if you're not really a Christian that's walking in obedience to God's word, the Spirit will be telling you, "Don't do that, don't do that, don't do that." And you're not hearing it. No, you're not hearing it at all. You're just shrugging it off. And then you go get hurt, and then you wonder, "Why this happened to me?" It happened to you because of sin. Now then, somebody says, it can't be sin that causes all these problems. Well, let me take you to 3 of my favorite verses. Let's go to Exodus 15:26. Exodus 15:26, and I want you to see what this says here.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, "It's Amazing What Sin Has Done," in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.